Welcome to the Instant Cast, presented by the Pewtercast. This is our instant reaction show, although it's not so instant. It's about 9 hours late is what it is, or not so instant show, for the Bucks versus the Panthers game. Week six, I believe we're in, or
just finished. Settle down in the dumps, Brent.
Hey, that's Brent Dax, my co-host over there. I am Brent Allen. And down in the dumps is not the right word, Ren. That's not the right word. I think the right word at this point, you typically call it something like self-preservation or something like that. Yes. I call it apathy. At least for me, I have hit that point with this season in my fandom, and I'm going to lay it all out right here at the top of the show. So I'm going to put a killer and a damper on this show right here. I just don't care anymore. Until they give me something to care about, like last year, I think I hit this part about week 10, maybe week 12. Mm-hmm. I'm hitting it here in week six. All the shine of a new coaching staff and the 84 people he has in this freaking sports science department. If I hear any more about the goddamn sports science department, I'm gonna throw my shoe at the damn window or the computer screen watching BA's press conference. Okay, because I don't care about the sports science department anymore. I don't care that we got the winningest coach and all whatever. I don't care. I need to see it on the field. And this is where we sit back and we say, I just see our friend Craig in the chat room says, is this the support group? My name's Craig. Is this a support group? Yeah, Craig. It is. But that is where I am. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know how you're feeling. I don't know where anybody else is feeling. But as a fan, still 9 hours after the game ended, that's where I am. Like, until they give me something to care about, I just don't care right now. I'm not jumping ship, okay? Let's do that. Because I get tired of people saying, oh, you know, real Bucks fans never jump ship. Whatever. I don't care. I'm not jumping ship, but you know what I am doing? I'm going to the back of the damn boat. I'm going down in my cabin. I'm going to take a nap. Y'all wake me up when something cool happens, all right? And then I'll come up board, and we'll see what's going on, all right? That's where I am after this freaking game out there in London. Woo! Went there to London. Ren?
Yo.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm not far off from you, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just about these 9:30 games, I don't know if I could live out in California and have like my team play a 1 o'clock East Coast game, like a few times
yeah,
a year.
Like it's their 1 o'clock game,
like, you know, like the Niners played the Bucks, I know it was 4 o'clock, but say they played at 1 o'clock, and like you had like I'm spent, man.
Yeah,
like after a game like that, like,
yeah,
and after it was over, I had to go out like to Ellington, which is a discount mall, you know, it's across the bridge, because as you know and some of the listeners know, I'm going to Ireland, and I had to, you know, beef up my rain slicker game.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a Columbia outlet there, and I was in the worst mood. I almost snapped at so many people, sort of, you know, like you're in a crowded store, in a crowded mall, like you can't walk in a straight line, but I just felt like everyone was like not getting out of my way or getting my way on purpose. Like we were there for rain slickers, and if Cheryl picked up a sweater in my head, I'm like, why the hell are you looking at a goddamn sweater? You got like 9 goddamn sweaters.
Right.
Like, we're here for rain gear. And I'm listening to myself. I'm like, man, you're so really upset about this game. And I'd be like, okay, snap out of it. And then 30 seconds later, a little girl who could barely speak, like walks in front of me, and I'm about to run her down because I'm in such a bad mood.
Right,
bro. It was embarrassing.
On national freaking TV. Oh,
I
don't even
care about that.
Oh, it is. I know. It just piles on, man. It piles on.
It's just hard to be like, you're like, it's like the same crap all the time.
It is.
You can start with Vernon Hargraves, who has to be the least respected cornerback in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the bust label is on this guy now.
Uh-huh, yeah.
With a guy who started a total of, like, 5 NFL games, they targeted Vernon Hargraves and torched him.
Yeah.
With DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. Who?
Exactly.
You know, we know he can't stand up against, like, the Thomases. He can't stand up against the Julio Jones. Like, but you can't stand up against DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. You got a problem, man. Like,
yeah. And here's the thing. And here's the difference. Because I saw somebody earlier today, and I kind of took him to task. They went, well, I think it's clear that Devin White is another bust picked by this GM. And I went, after two games in one quarter, you're ready to give him that label. Like, come on. Okay, Vernon Hargraves, we got 4 years of shit on this guy now. All right. Yeah, granted, we missed a year and
three and
whatever.
A half, three and a half.
Right. Like, he's had enough time. Devin White hasn't. But, like, yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. And, you know, great, they picked up his option.
And shout out to O.J. Howard for leading the team in batted passes.
Oh, did he really?
It's a joke.
Oh, okay. Like,
he has batted down, I think, four or five passes this year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's leading the team. He can't catch.
Mm-hmm.
Like the B word's coming to this guy, too.
Yeah.
Like, he can't catch. His hands are subpar for someone who catches the ball for a living.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you could make excuses where, like, well, James had to fire it because under pressure he didn't turn around in time. But there were still two times a day where, like, Howard made the hot read. Jameis made the hot read, threw it to him, and he still spiked it into the dirt. Like, it is – there's nothing – Scotty Miller can't hang on to the ball. Like,
oh my gosh. How many times did we target
Mike Evans? You are not an elite receiver. You are not a top five receiver.
Not after this season.
This season,
sure.
Two games, you're disappeared totally. Yeah. Totally disappeared, and you've dropped two big throws that you should have called in.
Right. Now, he's still got over 100 yards today, though. But still,
they targeted 15 times.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, you can't – don't let one cloud the other, right? Like, yeah, he caught a bunch of balls. He got over 100 yards. But as you just said, they targeted him a whole bunch of times. And the big ones, when we needed him to come up big, he didn't. And that's where elite receivers really make their money. That's where they really come into play.
It wasn't even a hard catch, man. He dropped it in the bucket.
Yeah.
Like, he put his arms like this and it hit him right here in the crease. Like, boop. Yeah. Yeah, and, like, it wasn't like the cornerback was there to swipe his arms down, like, right away.
Yeah.
He just dropped it.
Yeah.
It's like – and Devin White, we can talk a little bit about, because if his pass coverage doesn't get any better, he's fine against the run. Like, he made a play on Christian McCaffrey where he shot the gap when, you know, the Panthers were trying to eat up clock late in the game. Basically, you know, trying to score, but not aggressively trying to score. You know, and he shot a gap and knocked down Christian McCaffrey for a 2 yard loss. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember seeing that in training camp. That's nice. But he can't cover. And if you can't cover, then you're not a number five pick in the draft. I don't care.
Right.
You know, like, Minter is better in coverage than he is right now. Like, and Minter's not that good either. Like, he let Greg Olsen run right through his zone, stood flat-footed till Greg Olsen was 2 yards past him, and then went into chase mode. Like, I don't care what your Madden number says. You're not that fast. Like, why aren't you moving? Like, it was – this defense is so bad. So bad. The secondary is just so bad. And, hey, you're right. You were worried about the offensive line. I said, they'll scheme around it. They didn't try to scheme around it. They couldn't even – they did when they started throwing, like, those screens and stuff.
Yeah.
Jameis would come up from under center, turn to fire it, and he's getting hit. Like, they had to stop throwing screen passes because they couldn't hold off the defenders long enough for Jameis to stand up and fire a wide receiver screen pass. He had a double clutch a couple times to let someone go by him or shake somebody off. It was embarrassing. It's not competitive defensive football whatsoever. Not as bad as the Chicago game last year, but pretty close. Like, any team can do what – who cares? Like, yeah, we're great against the run. I will give you that. We are very good against the run. Teams try to run, try to establish the run, but then you don't have to.
Right.
Because guess what?
You just
have
to throw
it. The middle of the field's open.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I had that exact same thought. Like, I don't know what the final numbers were, but it looked like we shut down Christian McCaffrey again.
Yeah.
You know? And if it wasn't a complete shutdown like it was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was. He just had that 125-yard touchdown, like, dump-off pass for a touchdown. Besides that, they shut him down. I don't think he got, like, 60 yards, 70 yards. You take off that 25 one.
Yeah. Was it really that bad? Because it felt like he did some more than just that. And like I said, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I don't look. I don't do that for the instant cast. We'll look at those for the other show, the Final Thought show.
He didn't.
Okay. So we shut him down. Great. Fine. Okay. Well, let's run through it. We shut down Christian McCaffrey. We ain't do shit. We shut down, or we barely won that. that one, right? In the first time, the first game we met. We shut down Saquon Barkley, best running back in the game right now, probably. Took him out of the game. Took him out of a bunch of games, actually, apparently. Still lost that one. Alvin Kamara was relatively kept in check.
He was okay. He had like 100 yards combined.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Kept in check, right?
Yeah. No touchdowns, I believe.
Nothing happened there. We come back out, Christian McCaffrey again. Okay, maybe he's the best running back in the league. I don't know. Whatever. These are some of the top running backs in the league that we have faced recently.
Todd Gurley.
Yeah, that's the other one. Completely shut all these guys out. But it's not mattered. It's not mattered.
It's just like 2 years ago. It's like, if you don't score 40 points, you have no chance.
Yeah.
This is the fourth week in a row where the defense has given up 30 or more points.
Yeah. They almost had 40 on them today.
They're going to have 40 because they quit. And don't get this twisted like the Bucks made a comeback, because they didn't.
Right.
They quit aggressively being defensive. They went into a soft cover two and said, hey, if you're going to score on us, we're going to make you grind it out.
Yeah.
Eat up clock and do it. Now, they still did chunk plays, but I mean, again, it was like they didn't like really throw over the middle of the field. You know, Jameis, if you know how they talk about getting the quarterback off his mark, like that's kind of like a pressure. Well, we got him off his mark. I don't think Jameis ever got to his mark today.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Jameis was never.
Yeah,
sort of that perfect clean pocket you see, like the the U.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a V.
Right.
And it was a real tight V, and Jameis was in there somewhere. And that was a good rep for the offensive line.
Yeah.
It was just bad, man. Couldn't get the running game started. What, Rollins Jones touched the ball three times, maybe?
Yeah.
Carlton Davis, your best cover guy. Who cares? You know, I run the fastest 100-yard dash at the senior center. It doesn't mean I'm any good. Doesn't mean I'm fast. You're the best cover guy on the team. So what? Everyone else is terrible.
Yeah.
Did you see Edwards? Like, did Edwards even play?
I don't think he did. Yeah. I don't.
So the defense is regressing. Now a rookie's regressing.
Yeah.
You know, Jamel Dean can't make the field in front of these two yahoos.
A rookie is regressing.
Yeah.
Because a rookie literally, like, he regresses to college.
We can't trust you. We can't trust you to put you on the field.
Yeah. He regresses to draft status. That's what he regresses to. Ren, listen, buddy, this is the Instacast. This is the show where we get to talk about our reactions to the game, our raw reactions as fans. We get to talk about, how we're feeling, where we are in our fandom, but it's not just you and me who get to do that. We do have a phone line. It will be opened up. In fact, let's go ahead and open it up right now for anyone who wants to call in. I will remind people we have one phone line. If you'd like to call in, please just wait until the phone line clears and then call back. I'll take the first person who dials in and we'll talk to you guys. We'll see how you're feeling. So that number is 864-729-BUCKS. That's 864-729-2827. You can catch it right there below in the scrolling media. For those of you who are joining us live on YouTube, I'd like to say hello to all of you who are joining us there in the chat room. If you're joining us later on the podcast feed, hello to all of you guys as well. You're just not going to be able to talk. Ren, we've got our first call. Let's see who we've got on the line here. You're on with Brent and Ren. Who do we got here tonight?
Hey, gentlemen, it's Chef Aaron.
Chef, buddy. First down,
Mr.
buddy.
Mr. Married Chef Aaron.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Mr. and Mrs., yep.
Yeah, hey, so, Chef, you go on your honeymoon to Hawaii all week long, and you return to the frigid tundra of the north, only to have the frigid tundra seep into your bones from watching this game. Talk to us, buddy. How you feeling?
That was terrible.
Oh, yeah. I should have just slept in because this game was not worth waking up for.
Yeah, what time did you wake? You're not Eastern Standard Time like Ren and I are. What time was it for you when the game started?
It was an hour early, so about 8:30.
8:30. Wow. I saw Craig in Vegas said he had to get up at 6:30 to watch this game today.
Oof.
Can you imagine that? Ugh. And he's had to deal with it. Yeah, so should have stayed in bed.
hey, Chef, say one good thing about today's game. I dare you to find it.
Chris Godwin had a good game, I guess.
There you go. Oh, you beat me. You're right. Yep, Chris Godwin. Yep. If we only had 22 Chris Godwins.
Chris Godwin almost got hurt, but then he didn't.
Oh, he's always like that.
Right.
That's that Dwayne Wade thing I talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always like, oh, my ankle, I can't run. Touchdown. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Right.
So what's on your mind, Chef? What's up, man? Congratulations, by the way.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Ren. Much appreciated. What's on my mind is we got to stop making excuses for this team, for the quarterback, for the execution, for the coaching, for the GM, for the ownership. It's just every year it's nothing but excuses. And you know what? The great teams in the NFL, don't make excuses. They execute, they win, they know what they're doing. And it's just, I don't know what the hell it is with this team, but they, every time they bring in somebody else who they think that will finally get the job done, it stays the same freaking way for whatever reason. It's like there's a, excuse my language, there's a fucking hex on this team that just, or this team is in a black hole or something that they just cannot get the hell out of. I've just, this team, it's, they mentally exhaust you to the point where your brain is mush, and it's like that gift from SpongeBob SquarePants where Patrick has a befuddled look on his face. This team literally drives its fan base nuts, and they just cannot get out of their own way to save their own lives.
You know, we talked about this many a times, and we said it, you know, we're going to find out real quick if it's the players or the coaches. Mm-hmm. And I think we're finding out it's a little both. Now, remember when... Sure. You know, we went cornerback, safety, day two of the draft, and everyone's like, what the hell? Well, now we're seeing why. The problem is the cornerback, safety. Apparently, I spoke a little too soon. I guess Edwards pulled a hammy, and that's why he was out. They didn't want to push him out there, so maybe it's not something he's doing.
Wait, he pulled a hammy, like, in today's game, like, early?
No,
and
like
him
Friday
out?
Or something.
Oh, like they're in practice. Okay.
Hey, quick question for you guys real quick.
Yeah. Sure.
Would you say in the draft that one of the biggest problems with Light's pick is that he reaches on the small school players so much, like Sean Murphy Bunting and Mike Edwards? It seems like he's becoming a reach of a pick. It seems like all of these players that he drafts either are just not good on the NFL level or are too much of a small school, so he reaches.
I think that's a no. I don't think Central Michigan's really a small school.
Neither is Kentucky, by the way.
They
suck. They have historically sucked for years, but they're not a small school.
but you know, most of them have worked out. I mean, Scotty Miller still, you know, he's not what we thought he was when we saw him in training camp. Obviously, he's still got some growing pains to do. Not having, like, I never thought I'd miss Breshad Perriman more than I do. Like, how bad is Justin Watson? Like, first of all, Bobo Wilson doesn't need to be on the team, like, at all. He's not an NFL wide receiver. Yeah. He's just not.
The fact that they still have him doing kickoffs after just being complete ass, to say the least. Why does this team completely just ignore that stuff and just accept mediocrity with these players?
Yeah, I mean, Chef, to that point, Bruce Arians said in his press conference today about the – hey, whoever's calling in, call me back in a few minutes. We'll talk to you then. But Bruce Arians said about the punt return, they asked him about that, and he said, no one has stepped up to take it from him, but we'll be looking at it. I mean, Bruce, you know, he said that today. He's like, we'll be looking at it.
That brings me to another thing. It's like, that's Light's job, and he hasn't done anything to, like, get the correct players in here to take jobs. Like, how many years are we going to keep Dotson because Light can't find a replacement? How many years did we keep Conti because Light couldn't find a replacement?
Well, I mean, with Dot, I've said it's like nearly criminal not having somebody back there to push it. But, you know, it is hard to find a right tackle. And if you look at it, like, the offensive line now is what it's like. Light has built that from the ground up besides Dot. I mean, you know, there's your small school guys. The whole interior line, small school guys. You got Hobart. You got Humboldt.
Yeah.
And Ryan Jensen went like the Colorado, South Dakota State or something, like Colorado and Arizona, or I don't know. He went to you know, like Colorado State at San Antonio. I don't know, but it was another small school. And those guys seem to be working out. I mean, I understand the frustration with the Dot thing. I'm not really sure that he could have gone somewhere else, but I don't think he's wasted any picks. And he's been trying to fix the safety position since he got here. Mm-hmm. He's drafted four.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we don't have a number one guy in the secondary. Hargraves is not the answer.
Right.
You know, apparently as soon as Brent Grimes didn't re-sign, he ran over to his locker and stole his cleats and decided to wear them today because he can't even stand up anymore. Like, forget about covering guys. He can't even stay on his feet anymore.
Right.
I mean, you know, he's falling all over the goddamn field. You know, Carlton Davis, you know, some plays he looks like he's right there, but he doesn't make the play. And then some plays like all they did was run third window crosses. Like, you run across the quick slants window one, and this is basic. Like, some people say there's four windows, some people say there's five windows. But windows one is you cross in front of the cornerback before the linebacker, window one, like a quick slant. Then you continue it between the two linebackers, usually in a coverage. That's window two. And window three is on the other side of the far linebacker. And that's all they did. They just threw crosses to window three guys because no one could stay with them. It didn't matter. If it was zone, the opposite side linebacker wasn't picking them up. And if it was man, Carlton Davis couldn't stay with them. Freaking Whitehead couldn't stay with them. Hargraves couldn't. It doesn't matter who it is. Like, I could go and take the four fastest kids on a high school team in my area. Let's go any high school. I need four fast guys and go play flag football against our secondary and it'd be a good game.
Yeah.
Like it would be, they can't, they have no straight line speed. And by the time they get in the phase, the guy's already 3 yards past him. It's just so freaking frustrating. I don't know what, and it's not what I saw in training camp. I don't know what's going on, man. I don't know what's going on.
It seems like we were like touted all kinds of stuff on what the coaches were going to do and all stuff. But it seems like when they, and this goes from like last regime and then now this regime, it seems like whenever they get frustrated or whenever like something doesn't go according to plan, they just ditch all efforts and then go to then try to fit a square peg in a round hole with these players by having them play out of position, having them just not doing what to their best abilities. It's just, it just seems like what we call brains of the operation, whatever, it just ceases to exist, and everybody and the whole entire coaching just, it just falls flat on its ass, and we get too vanilla, too predictable, and it's the same old books, basically.
Yeah, Chef, I've got a theory about that. Ren, you tell me if this rings true to you at all. But actually, before I say that, Red, or Chef, I want to go ahead and let you go. I know a couple other people trying to call in, so I'm going to clear this line. But keep listening, because I want to float a theory out there about what you just said there, okay?
Congratulations again, Chef.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Chef. Here's my thought on that. I think we have coaches who come in who want to do something. They have this idea, and that, you know, that you hear Bowles and Bruce Arians talk about what they want to do, and they get in with these players, and then they realize the players can't do what the coaches want them to do, right? So, you know, like, even if we see them like playing out of position, maybe they're trying to get these guys to do stuff, but as you say, it's either the coaches or the players, and maybe it's a little bit of both. Maybe the players just can't do what the coaches are asking them to do. And so the coaches are having to call it down. I don't know. Talk to me about that in a minute. Let's find out who we have on the line now. You're on with Brent and Ren. Who do we have here?
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Brandon originally from California, now from Oklahoma. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, Brandon. Originally from California, now from Oklahoma. How are you?
Hey, not good.
Welcome to Brandon, brother.
And go.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. I just got a couple bones to pick, man. I mean, you guys watched the game as well. I don't know why Bruce Arians, I guess, is helping out the other team by basically picking the, I mean, receiving the ball in the beginning of the game. Like, why did he decide to do that?
I don't know.
Like, why not defer?
I don't. Look, if you listen to like the last, I think it was the last one we did, or maybe two before. Like, I've been on the defer train forever, and I don't care what coach you are. If you win the toss, you defer. It's like it's just what you do, because you can manipulate the clock whenever you get the ball sort of within 6 minutes or less in the second quarter. You can manipulate the clock by the way you run your offense. More around like 4 minutes and inside, it's a lot easier. But 6 minutes, you can run a 6 minute offense if you want. A lot harder to sort of sustain a drive like that. But then a 4 minute offense, you get down there, even if you just kick a field goal, but you get the ball right back. You know, it's the best defensive play in football, because you get a chance to score, and if you don't, they don't have any time to score, but you get the ball right back. It's
momentum.
Yeah, you get the ball twice. I mean, like, you just get the ball twice. That's the way it works. And, I mean, it doesn't work every time, because they might run their 4 minute offense to go down and score. But guess what? You get the ball right back.
Exactly.
And if you're worried about your defense, well, guess what? Even if you go down and score 7 points, your defense is coming out on the field. So I don't get it. It's the only way to steal possession in the game of football besides a safety, and you don't take advantage of it because, what, you want to go off to a hot start? Or I don't know why. It's just dumb. There's no reason why. No football game has been won 7-0, 7-6.
Yeah.
You know, just because you go down and score a touchdown first doesn't mean you're going to win.
Right.
We should know that. Sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, you think you no, you're perfectly right. And I mean, that's what I'm getting at is, you know, especially I guess with the team, the way we're playing right now, it's like you have to make the better decision for the team. Like we've been not so much playing from behind, but it just seems like we're missing out on certain drives. And I guess just coming back from the locker room after the half is over, just to have that, okay, well, we get the ball right now to begin, even though they might have scored to go into the half, or maybe we didn't close out a drive at the end of the half, or maybe we did score at the end of the half. Like us getting the ball back first to begin the second half, like to me just seems more smart. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Brandon, is we saw BA come out last week, I want to say it was, Ren, and he said in his press conference, like, yeah, maybe I should rethink taking the ball. You know, because every coach has to know, including BA, like, the smart move, what the money tells you is defer and take the ball in the second half. But, you know, sometimes you try to get cute. Sometimes you have, I want to get my offense off to a fast start, or I want to do, you know, whatever you have. But when the cuteness stops working, when the cuteness doesn't work and it turns around and bites you in the ass, that's when you've got to go back to what the smart play tells you to do. I think Bruce Arians recognized that last week and kind of came back out. And, you know, Bruce Arians is a man too. You know, he's got his own pride and he's got his own whatever. He's like, yeah, let's try it again. We had a good week of practice. And by the way, I'm just going to say this. If I hear them say we had a good week of practice and then they come out and put out a shit show like they did today, I'm going to throw up, because this happened under Cutter. It happened under Lovey, and now it's happening under Bruce Arians. And I don't care what kind of a practice they had. I don't need to know what kind of a practice they had. What I need to know is what they're putting out on the field. And what I need to hear now is Bruce Arians come out every single day and say, this was a shitty day of practice. We didn't win. I don't care if we weren't playing. We still didn't win. And they need to go out there and just, because I'm tired of having good practices. I'm tired of having good weeks of practice. I need to see a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, you know, we get hyped up all week and then we come out and we get this product on the field and it looks extremely shitty. Like, I don't get how you have, what is this guy's name, Kyle Allen. Get Kyle Allen coming out here and was the scheme good? Is he playing good? I mean, we get Teddy Bridgewater coming out. Is the scheme good? Is he playing good? We get Daniel Jones coming out. Is the scheme good? Is he playing good? I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, who hadn't played a game in, I don't know, almost the whole season last year.
Right.
The very first game he comes back, like, he balls out on us. Like, what is it? Are we getting outcoached? Are we getting outplayed? Like, what the hell is the problem?
Yeah. Oh, just wait. The Titans bench Mariota.
Yeah.
We get Tannehill in 2 weeks.
Yeah. At least he's not a rookie.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to be a rookie. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer in 2 weeks.
No, but you know, like.
But that's the thing. Like, yeah. it always happens to us. It doesn't matter who it is. Like, even last year, we can go to, what's his name? Trubisky. Like, he balled out. Like, I mean, Case Keenum always balls out on us. It could be like the Bucks, you know, haven't let up, you know, 50 yards rushing in the last year and a half. And then, you know, I've got this running back this week. And, oh, all of a sudden he goes off for 200 freaking yards. Like, what the hell are we doing on the field? Like, I do not get it. And, like, Jameis is not helping out the situation. Like, granted, we have two freaking green starting O-linemen. But, come on, Jameis, like, you got to be better with the ball. Like, there's half of the Bucks fans that are saying, you know, Jameis, you hold on to the ball too long, just take the sack. The other half of the Bucks fans are saying, Jameis, you know, you got to throw it away or find the right receiver. I'm just like, Jameis, please just make the right decision with the ball. Like, I don't care if you're going to take the sack. I don't care if you're going to throw it away. Just make the right decision with the ball. Like, you made six bad decisions today. You fumbled back to back. You recovered one, and then you lose one. I mean, I was screaming at the TV. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, the very first pass into the game, like, you try to force the ball to Mike, like, and you freaking blow it, and you throw a pick. Like, I mean, even the commentary said it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they said, oh, Bruce Arians talked about getting the ball back to Mike, and I don't know how Jameis processes that in his head. Like, does he come in saying, well, I have to get the ball to Mike, or maybe, like, I should try to get the ball to Mike in the best situations? And I think Jameis, like, just tries to force the issue, like, every time, man, and it just drives me insane.
You know, I remember that opening pass. And, Brandon, actually, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I've got a couple other people trying to call in. So thanks for calling, man. We'll talk to you later on this season, all right?
All right, man. Go Bucks. Right.
You know, I remember watching that interception. They showed the camera angle over Jameis's shoulder. And I looked out there, and I saw, you know, kind of looking sort of about what Jameis would have seen. And
was it on the devil's side or the angel side?
I think it was they were both devil sides tonight.
Oh,
man.
They're both devil
sides. And I went, okay, I get that. The throw was bad. The throw was low and wide right. Like, it wasn't to Mike. You know what I mean?
It wasn't a terrible throw. It was like a 50-50 ball.
Maybe. It was over. Like, Mike had to turn around and lunge for it. You know what I mean?
But if he threw it to Mike, then Kuechly would have intercepted it. He shouldn't have thrown it.
Yeah.
But you know he threw it because he said, like, the announcer said it like, James, take that. I have to get him the ball.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
And the first throw, he threw it to him.
Yeah, he did.
And it's tight. Like, he didn't have to throw it in that tight window. But, hell, I'm Jameis Winston. I got the arm talent for it. Watch this. Guess what?
I'm going to get it to Mike. Mike's going to go catch
you
it.
You don't.
No matter what, Mike's going to catch it. I get it. Hey, let's find out who's on the line. You're on with Brent and Wren for the Instant Cast. Who do we got here tonight?
Hey, it's Rutger from Arizona.
What's up,
hey, Rutger?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Rutger, is this your first time calling in?
I called in like a couple of years ago once.
All right.
Okay, cool.
I wonder if it was Brandon's first time calling in.
Hey, I feel like we recognize him. But anyway, we're talking to Rutger. Rutger, what's on your mind tonight, brother?
Well, I got two things, you know, that I'm thinking after this game. And kind of like the good and the bad.
Okay.
The good being Bruce Arians is like an actual NFL coach for the first time. I think he's the best coach we've had in a while. I trust him and his staff. But he's taking on the Buccaneers, and there's just like a weird culture of losing here, different to anywhere in the league. Mm-hmm. And we knew we weren't going to win a lot of games this year if we were being realistic. And these are the type of like losses that he needs to endure and like take his staff's approach to fixing it rather than Dirk's or, you know, whoever in the past.
Yep. No, so I'm with you.
That's what I'm feeling optimistic about.
Yeah. You know, Rutger,
Rutger's silver lining us. Wait, before we go on, Rutger, how many times have people made, I can't remember the movie. God damn it.
Rudy?
Harrison Ford movie. Rutger Hauer.
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner. Yeah, how many Blade Runner jokes do you get in your lifetime?
Not too many, but that's the reason, though. That's why I was named that, because of Rutger Hauer.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Wow. Do you like that?
Yep.
Okay, he doesn't want to talk about it. Go ahead, Brent. Sorry.
No, but I mean, Rucker, like you talk about the faith in Bruce Arians, right? And I, you know, I've said for the past couple of weeks now, I'm off the Jameis train, but I believe that BA can still do something. And I said at the top of this show, like, I'm over the hype. I'm over the hype of the coaching staff. I'm over the hype of all of these guys. I'm over the hype of all this. Apathy has started to set in. I'm with you, though. Like, I hear what you're saying of, I still think that Bruce Arians can do something. That's why I'm not, like, shut down. Like, I'm not ready to blow the whole thing up or anything like that. At this point, I just don't care. Until Bruce Arians can start making something happen as the coach, I'm in that spot where I'm like, do I want to watch the games anymore? Yeah, of course I do. Am I going to go to the games? Yeah, I've already paid for the tickets probably. You know, like, it's yes, I'm going to go, but I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, these Bucks are just going to.
I'm not having a good time.
No, I'm not. And it's just.
And it's ruining my day.
Yeah.
And it made me want to punch my girlfriend in the back of the head.
Yeah.
I think we've shown improvement in some key areas enough to like feel good about him. But, that's like the bad part of that is we can't have Jameis Winston playing for us like next year at all.
He's got to go.
Sorry, keep going. You're breaking up a little bit, but I think.
No, go ahead, Rucker.
Sorry, my connection is real bad.
Okay. Well, anyway, what I was saying was that, like, a little pushback on that Jameis Winston thing. Like, Jameis Winston had a bad day, but he got no help today. Like Mike Evans didn't really help him out, you know, separation. O.J. Howard, like, you know, decided to be Karch Karai and spike, like, three balls into the dirt. Scotty Miller was okay. Like, he had no chance. And by the time we got so far behind, he had to start forcing balls because he knew he didn't have the time. Now, two of those last two picks were just like the one to Chris Godwin on fourth down. He had to throw it. There's a guy in his face. He threw it to his most trusted guy. The guy broke on the ball, made a good play. He had to throw it. He was going to get sacked. It was fourth and 10. The one to Mike Evans, you know, like basically ended the game. Like it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. The one I'll just say one more thing before I go. Like,
oh yeah, sure.
Jameis, it's weird. He just, if this team, this defense is so bad, so the type of quarterback we need is the kind that like can limit mistakes and be a game manager but still have a spark. Jameis has shown he's not that guy. He gets completely flustered when the pressure's on and makes horrible decisions. He's just done it for so long now. If you look at his numbers, it's hard to say, you know, after 4 years, he's got like 16,000 yards and 100 touchdowns. It's hard to hate on that,
right?
But he's just shown that if he has to deal with any kind of pressure, it's going to be a mistake, you know? So,
yeah.
But I'll clear up the line here. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, Rucker. Thanks so much, man. Hey, call back in more than once a season. All right. We'd love to talk to you each week. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, man.
All right. Yeah.
All right. But it's hard to argue that since he had a perfect quarterback rating against the blitz.
Yeah, look. Here's the thing. Like, I said this in the chat room about the same thing, and I'm sorry to cut you off. Jameis Winston. Brandon, am I okay? This is my unbaked thought, okay, coming out of today's game. So maybe help me out with this. Tell me if I'm way off track. Jameis Winston can be very, very good to great.
Yeah.
For several games in a row. But what he can't be is he can't be consistent. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we've seen over 5 years. Like, this isn't this year. This is 5 years. Is there's a consistency issue. That's the problem that I'm starting to have and that I'm starting to suss out.
But I understand that, but it's not a consistency issue where, like, it's not like he has a clean pocket and he's throwing these bad balls.
Right.
He's running for his frickin' life.
It is true.
And he thinks that he can make this play, and he can't.
Exactly.
So if he gets time like 28 of the other quarterbacks in the league get, that pass where he threw to the sidelines today like three or four times where he put it over JV and Elliott into the receiver's hands, it was like Godwin, Mike. I think he did it even to Scotty Miller one time. Mm-hmm. That is a big boy throw. That's the hardest throw in the NFL. And he did it like he was in his sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like I still can't put my finger on it, like why he folds like this.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
He had a bad game, but not all those picks were his fault. And and again, it's like every time Panthers got the ball, they moved down and scored until they decided not to score anymore.
Right. Well, let's see who we have on the line. They've been waiting for us for a whole minute and a half and been trying to call in all show long. Who do we have here on the line tonight? You're with us with Brent and Ren on the Instant Cast.
Hey, how you doing, man? It's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, man. First-time caller. Kind of just want to skip the backstory. I'm from Tampa, so.
Okay. There you go. Fair enough.
But I just want to focus sorry, first-time caller.
Hey, listen, adrenaline. You know the drill. I like it.
But anyways, I just want to focus on the fact that, can you guys remember the last time that we had a complete game, offense, defense, special teams?
Wasn't that
that's the biggest indictment on the Bucs.
You know what?
And
you know what?
We can focus on Jameis all we want, but I mean, it's just pathetic. And I'm a diehard Bucs fan. And you guys were talking earlier about like difference between fanatical and fan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And after these types of games, it's hard to be fanatical.
Yeah. After these kinds of games, let me tell you what, it's hard to get on YouTube and go live and talk about this for an hour to everybody. But
yeah,
it's also nice because we get to all do this and then turn around and do this three more times throughout the course of the week.
Listen to this, and maybe all three of us can come up with this because I can't remember. When's the last time Jameis Winston won two games in a row as a starter? Like, I could not remember. I didn't want to look it up because I didn't want to get depressed. I'm thinking like it might be like 2000. What was that? When did we get the five-game win streak with Mike Smith?
It's 2016.
2016?
It was the back half of that year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because last year we won two in a row, but that was to Patrick.
Right.
We haven't won two in a row this year.
We went 5-11 the year before that, so I don't think we had any two in a rows then either.
Yeah, I mean, like,
That's another trend that I see as well. It's like every time that, because, like, the whole week, I don't really listen to mainstream. Obviously, I use YouTube as my outlet for my information because they don't ever talk about the Bucs. But I was hearing them say, like, Stephen A. Smith is like, oh, yeah, Winston, he's doing good. And it's like, not just Winston, the team as a whole. It's like anytime we finally break that notoriety, which we as fans want to achieve, any fan wants that. It's like we fall flat on our faces.
Yeah, yeah. I know, man. I don't, and I don't know what – I have no wise words to help you. You know, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I'm right there with you. You're exactly right. Anytime you get – it feels like for the past – since the 9-7 5-game-in-a-row winning season, so it's been, what, 3 years now? Anytime you feel like we get any momentum or makes you feel good about anything, they come out the next game and lay an absolute egg. Like, it feels like now they're playing their worst game progressively, you know? Like, the Saints game was the worst game they played until this game, you know? And then the Rams game was the worst defensive game they played.
One more point so somebody else can call.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rand. No, Rex, my bad. I've been listening to you guys for a little bit now, so I'm still getting the names down. But anyway, it's just my last point. What time is appropriate for us to start seeing a little bit of what Ryan Griffin can do so we can at least move forward in the future? Because, I mean, we've seen this story play out year after year after year. And I think as a fan base, we want to hold on to hopes and dreams. But, I mean, as a fan base as well, it's like we keep investing our hearts and money into this team, and it's just getting old.
Here's the thing.
And that's my last point, and I won't interrupt anymore, and thanks for taking my call. I know I've been nagging the line.
No, you're all right, Kevin. Thanks for calling in, and hey, please keep calling back in, man, each week. You guys are part of what makes the show happen, okay? But Kevin asked
the question. Yeah, you guys are awesome. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much, buddy. He asked the question, when is the right time to basically bail on Jameis and move over to Ryan Griffin? And Ren, your answer was never. I'm going to take umbrage to that. When Jameis gets hurt, or when they decide to get rid of Jameis. And
or
guys, here's the
deal. FBI breaks into the house and arrests him because he's the Unabomber 2.
Oh my gosh. Right. But here's the deal. Griffin's not the answer either. Griffin is a backup. We know what we have in Griffin, right?
Could be the next Kyle Allen.
No. We know what we have in Griffin. Griffin's a backup, and he's a great backup. He's a fine backup. But he's not going to be the quarterback who takes us to the Super Bowl. So it's either Jameis, or they decide to move on from Jameis and go to somebody else, but it's not going to be Ryan Griffin. Not long term. I'm great with Ryan Griffin short term as a backup, not long term. Hey, who do we got on the line with us? You're on with Brent and Ren for the Instant Cast.
Hi, my name is Craig, and I'm a Bucks fan.
Hi, Craig.
I've been a Bucks fan, a user since.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, yeah. One day at a time, hey, Craig. One day at a time, buddy.
One day. Hey, it's a 12-step program. We'll get there, right?
Yeah, yeah. When do we make amends?
So, hey, at least you didn't have to drive back tonight. You know, I've given you almost, what, 6 weeks off.
You know,
that, so
you know what I
good.
Didn't have to do, which I almost had to do, was fly back tonight. Because I was a hair's breadth away from buying tickets when they went on sale. And I turned around and texted my wife to go, okay, are you sure you want to go? Because we were going to go. And she was doing something, and she got back to me like 20 minutes later. And when I went to get the tickets, the whole game was sold out. Whole game was sold out, and I just went, you know what, I'll just let it go. And I know there's other ways to have gotten tickets, but we kind of let it go because it would have been the whole trip, right? And to everybody who made that trip for that game, I hope you got a really cool vacation outside of that 3.5 hours because –
Yeah.
Yikes. That's I have talked about this, I think, recently. I still remember sitting in the stadium in Ray J going, how much money am I spending? How much time am I taking away? It's a 7-hour round trip for me each home game. How much time am I doing to do this, to come here and put myself through this? The people who did that only going overseas to do that. Holy cow. Yikes. But I hope you got a good vacation out of it. But I don't have to fly home tonight, Craig. That's
I saw a lot of people had a good vacation, which is good, because like I said, I thought about it too, and then I'm like, wow, it's a long trip home if they lay an egg, which they've done almost every time now in London. I don't think they've not been in a competitive game over there since they've gone over for 3 or 4 games at least. But here's my 2 cents tonight. First of all, the look on BA in that press conference, I think he's like, I think he bit off more than he can chew a little bit. And I think the reason is we're getting BA Light, not BA Arizona BA. And so that's my concern. And here's the other thing. Listen, I'm not saying Jameis is the answer long term. I'm still not ready to throw it out just yet. And I will totally throw it out after the Nashville game against Tennessee. That'll be my line of demarcation to say if it's going to go or not. But if you look at him out there, I've never seen him more confused and not be using his legs, where when he was a rookie, first, second, third year, he had some great scam. And you tweeted about it today as well, too. He can move and get first downs and run the ball. I don't know what it is, but he seems so afraid to just tuck it and run. I don't know if the clock's not working right in his head, but just something just off. Where under Monken's system, there was a much more comfort level. And I don't understand. And I'm thinking, is Byron or them telling him don't run?
Yeah. They want his eyes downfield. Yeah. They want him to move around in the pocket, get out of trouble, but keep his eyes downfield. They don't want him taking off and running.
And at some point, you with that offensive line, you're going to have to get him out on boot action and let him run a little bit to slow down a rush as well, too.
Yeah, where was that today? I mean, you kind of found out early in the first quarter, it's like, okay, this is going to be a problem. When bum-ass Gerald McCoy got a sack, you're like, okay, we might have a problem here.
And then another one. And then another one.
And another one.
And it felt like a Jay-Z song. And then another one.
But there was no rollouts. I mean, I complained about, like, there was no really quick slants. I think there was one for Godwin for a first down. Like, but, you know, and then when they tried to get the ball outside quickly, he was always under center, and they couldn't hold him back long enough to do that. Well, then go in the pistol, go in the shotgun and try it. Like, when they use the aggressiveness of the Panthers against him and threw that screen pass to O.J. Howard, it was like a 30-yard game, you know, and got us down in scoring position, and you know, we put it in. So it's just like, man, I know Leftwich is learning, and I know Jameis is learning, and I know the defense is learning, but I'm still just keep going back to this secondary can't hold up. Like a game like today, it was a division game, it was going to be a tough game. I was saying on all the pods, whoever hits 24 first is going to win this.
Yeah.
And it ended up being true, it's just that the Panthers didn't stop. Our secondary can't hold up against anybody.
They got seven extra possessions today as well, too, with turnovers as well, too. I mean, you can't do that. But also,
Craig, there were some plays
that weren't made today.
Craig, just to follow up on your point of the seven turnovers, our friend James from over at Mr. Bucks Nation was in the chat room earlier. I'm not sure if he's still there or not, but he pointed out the Panthers scored 23 points off of Buccaneer turnovers. 23 points. Now, they still scored those points. Like, they had to go out and do that work, but still, 23 points scored off turnovers. Yikes.
Yeah. It was bad. But that's where, I had full confidence in the staff, and I still do, and I it's not been a full year, and I understand it's the SOB, same old Bucks right now. Mm-hmm. I gotta think at some point the light goes on in that locker room, but some way, somehow, like, if you're not gonna fix Jameis, and if they're not going to, then, you know, does this staff really stay around after this? Because BA said this is his guy. And you looked in the press conference today, he had that just befuddled look, and then and Jameis looked worse in that press conference today as well, too. You could almost see in Nashville the two backup quarterbacks potentially playing it, and the first and second picks in the same draft as backups that day as well, too. And listen, winning cures all, and I'll say it this for every Buck fan out there. I'll say it to a lot of people. Winning cures all. It's the perfume that fixes everything as well, too.
Sure.
This fan base right now wants to win so bad it hurts. I mean, people are you know, all over each other on different social media platforms as well, too, because this team's fans are dying for a win. And the fan base is kind of dwindling down a little bit as well, too, because this will be 10, 11, 12 years now without a playoff. And this is a worst-to-first type of league where in 10, 11 years, you should at least run into a wild card as well, too.
A couple of times. And, a couple of times, Craig. To your point, Tampa
people, you know,
is ready.
We are. If it wasn't for the Cleveland Browns going 0-4, we would be that team right now.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Tampa is ready. Look at how empty the Rays' Tropicana Field has been all year long, for years, right? Rays get into the playoffs. Look at the pictures from the Rays game the other night, the one where O.J. Howard had that barehanded catch. Look at what's happening over at Amalie Arena every single Lightning game, because the Lightning is winning. Tampa will, and for everyone who keeps bitch moaning and complaining about how empty Ray J is and how there's other teams, fans there and whatnot, and we ought to show up. Look, here's the deal. Here's what will fix that. When the Bucks begin to win and give Tampa Bay people a reason to come out. Tampa Bay will show up. We prove that we will do that. We prove that we're getting ready to come out and that we really, really want to. It's just after 12 years, apathy sets in, right?
Yeah.
And for me, after five games,
I'm born and raised. I know I live out here, but I have my pulse that I was been at the old stadium for all the double-digit losing seasons as well, too. People want a return on investment on their discretionary income.
Exactly.
The people have to remember, this is discretionary income. I worked in the sports business. It's I don't have to spend this money.
Right.
I don't have to have this aggravation on Sunday as well, too. I can find out, especially in Tampa with the beaches and everything else to do, I can go boat. There's all kinds of options for me on a Sunday afternoon in late summer, early fall, that I can do a lot of things. And so people want to feel like they're getting their money's worth out of what they're seeing as well, too. And if you want to talk about apathy and a fan base as well, you guys plugged in, I'm sure, watched a little bit of Sunday Night Football tonight. This is a Chargers game at home that feels like a road game as well, too.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when there's apathy from fans as well, too. So listen, stay the course. Don't jump the ship, people.
Yeah.
I understand it's frustrating. It will turn. I don't know when as well, too. I do have faith in the staff, but if they don't win the game against the Titans, I will say it's time to start planning for next year.
Yeah, we definitely got to figure out. Craig, I'm going to let you go. We're going to let some other people call in. All right, buddy?
All right, guys. Thanks,
Craig. Thanks for sharing, Craig.
Yeah. I'm so glad that Craig calls
in. This is going to be really weird.
Because the PewterCast drinking game is alive and well every time Craig is in.
This is going to be really weird for you, Brent. But do you know there was a point back when Ray J first opened that you had to give the Buccaneers $5,000 for the right?
The PSL?
For the right to buy your season ticket.
Yes. Yes. Was it a PSL that they were using?
I don't know what that means. They called it seat deposit.
Seat deposit, permanent seat license is something. It was $10,000 in Charlotte at the Panthers stadium. Like I just know from when I lived up in that area. Like because I was trying to figure out this PSL whatever. Like it's crazy. Yeah, and I remember that because I remember I was living in Clearwater at the time, and like they said it was like a 10-year waiting list to get season tickets in Raymond James. Like right off. And it's that's the point. If the Buccaneers give Tampa Bay residents, I don't care where they come from, I don't care what other team they may like or have an affiliation with, they'll still show up to the games if Tampa Bay just gives them a freaking reason to show up. And so far they haven't. And I'm not gonna blast people for not doing that. You know, I get it, you know?
Yeah, the only people that are allowed to blast people for not going to the game is people that are at the game, you know? And I don't even care if you live at a market and be like, when people show up, it's like, you know, and I know people at a market that, you know, go in for one or two home games a year, make it a trip, and they show up. But still, if you're not there, that's what always bothered me sort of like on sports talk radio around here. Like with these guys would like, you know, blast Rays fans or blast Bucks fans, you know, that they didn't show up to all these games. And all these people on the radio can go to all these events for free.
Yeah.
And they go to like
No, they five. Don't just go for free. They go and get paid.
No. They go and no. I mean, not like they work the game, but they can show up, but they can get tickets through the radio station or just show their press pass and be like, hey, and they can go and hang out and do not have to pay. And they only go like 6-7 times a year to like, 81 baseball games.
Yeah.
And then they come out on Wednesday talk about, awful showing by the fans. Like, screw you. Why weren't you there?
Right.
Do you go to 81 games? No, you don't. Why? Oh, I have a job. No one else has a job? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care about the fan stuff. You know, I just think that these past few games have really shown that it's the reason why we went secondary on day two. Like they looked at the film, said we can't win with these guys.
Yeah.
We got to get our own guys. The problem is our own guys. Like Sean Murphy Bunting looks lost out there.
Right, he
completely
does.
Completely lost.
He does.
Like he didn't. A guy caught the ball, went down short of the first down. He luckily tipped the guy with his helmet.
Yeah.
But that would have had to gone review and then didn't touch him. And the guy got back up and thank God Levante David came flying in and knocked him out of bounds, you know, to get off the field on third down. Wow.
Right.
That's an anomaly.
Right.
It's just, you know, it can't be physically possible to miss on this many defensive backs? MJ Stewart, Carlton Davis, Ryan Smith, Vernon Hargraves, Justin Evans, Jordan Whitehead, Edwards. Who else am I missing?
I don't know. I'm not even keeping track anymore.
We've drafted the most DBs since, what was Hargraves, 15 or 16? Since that draft, we have drafted more DBs than anyone else in the league, and our secondary is dead last. Dead last.
You're on the line with Brendan Wren for the Instant Cast. Who do we have here tonight?
Hey, guys. This is Andrew. New podcast fan.
All right, Andrew. Oh, hey, thanks, man, for calling in, man. Andrew, we got a rule on this show. First time callers, we always ask how you became a Bucks fan. And where are you calling from?
Excuse me. Calling from Lithia, the Fishhawk area. I was born into it. Dad's a fan, so been a dad had season tickets when I was four. So that was in '94. So I'm almost 30.
Okay, there you go. Well, what's on your mind, Andrew?
I just wanted to comment in kind of on what Ren was just saying as far as how is it possible that we've missed on so many defensive backs, and it's just mind boggling, man. I just don't understand how was it been six picks in the last 3 years, something like that. How is there not one stud out of that group? It just doesn't make any sense.
We've all liked Jordan Whitehead.
And then I do like Jordan Whitehead. He's the best of the bunch, but even then, is he even Pro Bowl caliber?
No. That's the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like if you're not trash, you're the best defensive player we have or best DB.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you know, what's his name? Evans, Justin Evans showed some promise, but he can't stay healthy.
He had the potential.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Just can't get on the field. So
I wanted them to go O-line this year in the second or third round. And then for Dotson's, I wanted that guy Denver picked, the guy from K-State, Reisner. Yeah. But you don't think he would have come in handy this week?
Oh, sure he would have, provided he was healthy.
Murphy Munson's been doing anything either, so.
I mean, like, at the beginning of the year, I would have, like, bet my bottom dollar, or like I like to say, I would have bet Brent's house on that the Bucks would go O-line day one or, like round one, round two. But now after watching these six games, like, we got to go DBs again. Mm-hmm. Like,
you can't, though. You literally cannot. You have to go.
But it's really the only weakness. You got to tackle. Like, listen, we've had, like, as bad as, like, these two games have been and as bad as the defensive has been, like, Jameis has improved. He got zero help today. I'm not taking the loss off his plate, okay? I'm not. But he got zero help today, and if he didn't try to push the ball into small windows, he would have been sacked, and we wouldn't have got any points at all. Okay, they totally abandoned the run game. O.J. Howard, like I said, like turned into a beach volleyball player, started spiking balls into the ground. You know, Mike Evans, you know, wasn't much help when it needed to be. Godwin, of course, was good. Okay, we'll go through all that. But the offensive line was a huge problem before. Like, we thought it was going to be a huge problem before the year started. You know what? They've had two bad games in a row against two very good front sevens, granted, and they've come up lame, and maybe, you know, were they really big factor into losing the game. Okay, so we're not all the way fixed there yet. We got a young Kappa, but I don't think anyone's disappointed in Kappa's play. No one's really yelling about Donovan Smith this year. Allie's been Allie. He's had some rough plays, but, you know, for the most part, it's been Allie, and Jensen's greatly improved, okay? Rojo went from, like, oh, my God, second-round bust to, like, hey, why is Peyton Barber even getting the ball? You know, Chris Godwin went from a guy that, like, well, you tell me he's good. Let's see it. Well, he's proven it. O.J. Howard has been the same. Like, he just, you know, he's digressed. But, you know, the defense, like, where are we going to get the pass rush
I wouldn't necessarily say that about O.J. because he just hasn't gotten the targets. Because even last year when he was getting 6 to 8 targets a game, he'd have one or two drops or balls bounce off his hands just because, you know, that's how he is. I mean, he's not sure-handed. He's not Godwin. He's not Evans. But I just, you mean, it's showing up a little bit more because he's getting three damn quick targets a game. So
okay, and you could still be on the O.J. Howard train. That's fine. But, you know, we weren't going to get any sacks. The front line, the front seven is nails against the run. Devin White's too early to tell. I thought he had flashed some good flashes today. I thought he was poor good flashes today. It's the frickin' secondary. The first couple of games, the safeties were all out of position, and now the teams have decided, like, hey, Vernon Hargraves, you are really piss poor in coverage. We're just going to throw at you 30 times a game. And they complete 25 of them. Mm-hmm. Like, that's
what happened to Mike Edwards. Well, I saw Adams on the field a lot more. Was he hurt? Or
Someone said in the chat that he pulled a hammy Friday, and so that probably had something to do with it. I'm not too sure on that. I mean, I hope that's it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be too – like, I wouldn't have been shocked if they pulled him because of his play, because it's been very rookie-like, very up and down. But, you know, again, and the people that are always pro-Bucks and always positive Bucks, and we try to be like that on this pod, is like, but it's a really young secondary. Well, okay, but you know who else has, you know, but Lattimore is a young guy and he balls out, and Ward at Cleveland's a young guy and he balls out. Like, you keep seeing all these, you know, guys that go early in the secondary, Adams safety for the Jets, that show up and play well, and we got seven of them and none of them are playing well. We got a guy who's not terrible, and we go, hey, go Jordan Whitehead. Like, it's the secondary. That's it. It's right tackle, secondary, and depth. Because I'll tell you what, Jameis Winston isn't going anywhere. The day Jameis Winston goes is the day Bruce Arians goes.
Yeah, I think Jameis is just fine. I mean, did he have a great game today? Obviously not. But Bruce Arians, and I think a lot of these people, these other callers are saying, Bruce Arians looked frustrated. Of course he's going to be frustrated. The team just got his butt kicked. But I don't think that was necessarily towards Winston directly. I mean, I think a lot of people are projecting stuff when they're saying, you know, he's in over his head or he didn't know what he was getting himself into. Because I just watched them again before I called in those press conferences. And I actually thought Jameis had a good press conference for the most part. I mean, he owned up to everything. And he seemed like he was clear. You know, sometimes after those bad games, you could tell he was real frustrated and, you know, what have you. I thought he looked much better, in my opinion. And then Bruce Arians, I didn't think was lost or bad. You know, everybody's saying he looked horrible or his body language is horrible. I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, Andrew, I watched that press conference as well. I don't know. I've had to stop watching Jameis's because they
gotta be better.
Yeah, it's all me. It's only me, and I'm only ever going to talk about me, and I'm just going to say the same thing over and over. PR talking notes that they gave him. But Bruce Arians came. I mean, Bruce Arians was typical Bruce Arians after a game. And Ren, it's the things that you like about him. You know, they're like, "What about this?" He's like, "Yep, we sucked right there, and it was it was XYZ, and this is what." Okay. That's the thing that I like about this coaching staff, or at least this coach specifically. I can't say the rest of the coaching staff because we saw Todd Bowles give a bullshit answer earlier this week. Byron, you know, whatever. But you know, Bruce Arians will come in and he'll say, this is the problem. And, you know, they've got to go and do something. Now we're 6 weeks into the season. Our guys are our guys. You know what I mean? Like, we can talk about, bench this guy, trade this guy, get rid of this guy, listen guys, and everybody out there, listen, the 53 that we have on the team right now is pretty much the 53 we're going to have. I know Patrick Peterson apparently is on the trade block with the Cardinals, a couple other people. You might get one, maybe two, but we're not going to fix this whole team. And Bruce Arians is not going to fix this whole team. And if we're finding out that it's not just the coaches, but it's also the players has been the problem with this team, then fine, we can fix the coach, but it's going to take some time to fix the players, right? And it's going to be more than just this first season. So, you know,
changing the culture.
I'm along for the ride wherever they take us. But at this point, maybe it is self-preservation, Ren. I'm out.
I was like that with you too at the beginning of the year, but we're not even competing now.
No.
The defense will not let the offense even compete.
Are
we completely sold on this coaching staff still? I mean, don't get me wrong. I do like it. They're much better than the last five regimes, but there's no in-game adjustments. They seem kind of – they're sticking to their guns.
Yeah.
There's no – they're not rolling pocket. They're not doing play-action pass. It just seems
they're doing a shit ton of play-action pass.
They say the thing. They're going to, you know, put the players in the best position to succeed, but then where's that – why aren't you throwing more to OJ, that 30-yard screen pass? Why are you only doing that one time? That's the kind of stuff where.
Well, I mean, Andrew, that's what I said at the beginning is I'm off the hype train with the coaching staff and stuff. And until they just start doing it, I'm off the hype train with all of them.
Yeah.
They got to start doing it. If they start doing it, then I'm with it. But I'm, you know, I'm just in this weird spot. Like I have hope they're, you know, it's still a good thing, but I'm not going to.
You're in the, quit telling me, show me mode.
Yes, exactly. That's 100% where I am.
I don't want to hear from you. I don't care what you have to say.
I don't care about your press conferences anymore. I don't care.
Go win a freaking football game.
Just win the game. And I don't care how you do it, to be quite honest with you. I don't care if you take the ball first or you take the ball second. I don't care if you set up these guys. I don't care who you throw to. At the end of the game, if the score is the Bucks win, then I'm good with you.
I don't care if you poison their water.
And I need you to do it multiple games in a row. Andrew, thank you for your call tonight, buddy.
Yes, sir.
And hey, hopefully we hear back from you later on this season, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Oh, Ren. Ren.
Yo.
We're at an hour and 10 minutes on the show tonight.
So get this.
Yeah.
I know we had to go across the bridge, the Skyway Bridge, pretty famous bridge. It's been in some car commercials. A lot of people might know it, that the barge like ran into it 2-3 decades ago and the middle fell out and people kept driving off the edge of it in a foggy night.
Right.
Well, did you just laugh?
No, because I had a picture of the just.
Yeah,
the
they stopped. All died, Brent, by the way.
Wait, is this a true story? You're not making this up. This is a true story?
No, this is a true story.
No, yeah. Oh, my God. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Okay, sorry to get morbid, but hey, I mean, did you just watch the game?
Ren, the
no,
morbid
late
one
at night, a barge was coming. It's Skyway Bridge is one of a taller bridge.
Yeah.
That's at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. So, like, all the ships that come in, all the cargo, even cruise ships have to go into there. And a barge hit, like, one of the pillars, and the middle section fell.
Okay.
And it was late at night, and cars just kept driving right off the edge.
Okay.
The only guy that lived was in a truck who actually landed on the barge. I mean, he was all messed up, but he was the only guy that lived. So anyway, they built a new one, obviously. Uh-huh. So we have to go over this bridge. I shouldn't have told that story, but we have to go over this bridge to get to the outlet mall to go to the Columbia store to get some new rain jackets. And I'm driving over this bridge and I'm daydreaming in my head that I'm in One Buck Place or Advent Health Center training in the locker room because we've been in there.
Right.
Been in there.
Right.
And I'm just like chewing everybody out.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are you smiling at, Hargraves?
Yeah.
Oh, really? You got confidence? You know what I got confidence in? You're going to give up like 85% passes thrown your way, you know? And you, Watford, I'm here to take people's jobs. Really? You know, like I was going off in my head on everybody. Like, O.J. Howard, you can't catch, by the way. Like, I don't care how tall, how fast, you can't catch.
Right.
You can't. Like, I was just ripping into everybody, just going through my head, and I'm just driving over the bridge, just going. And that was how I was coping with it. As in, I get to be in the locker room at FN Health Training Center and chew ass on these guys for like a half hour.
Were you giving them the BA, like, I love you, but your football sucks?
No. I wasn't. I wasn't there yet. I was still like, you suck. Your hair's stupid. Your style is dumb.
Right.
You know, like, I don't care.
The numbers on your jersey suck.
No one buys your crap.
Right.
You know, you're worried more about your Instagram than you are in your game. Like, I was. And before I knew it, I was over the bridge. So, yeah, it was a good time.
Well, that's a good way to pass the time, I guess.
Yeah.
But, hey, speaking of passing the time, man, we are way up on our time here for the Instant Cast. So we're going to go ahead and shut it down for tonight. We will be back later this week. We've got our final thought show coming out. You guys send in emails, questions, iTunes reviews, comments. You can do that to theputercast@gmail.com. We'll get to that on the second part of our final thought show this week. And then obviously we'll have Ren, I don't know. We're going into our bye week. So probably not a Buck in the News show unless there's a lot of news. I don't know how this is going to work because we haven't figured out the bye week yet. So, but we will have some other stuff coming out. Guys,
we'll go
into
a bye week.
Yeah. You guys will have content from us for sure. We're just not sure what format it's going to be in, but we do know the final thought shows will be coming up. So you guys do that. If you didn't get to call in tonight and you'd like to, or you're listening to this on the podcast feed, you want to send in your thoughts and comments on the game, do that too. theputercast@gmail.com. And even if you did call in and you're one of the, what, 7 or 8 people that we heard from tonight and you got more thoughts, hey, you guys can send those in as well. So you guys make sure you get in contact with us there. I'd like to thank everybody who joined us live at youtube.com/theputercast. You guys are awesome. You guys, listen, if you want to join us live, the chat room is where it's at. It's a whole show within the show. And they're just still going over there. So you guys make sure you want to join us 10 o'clock Sunday nights after the ball games. You guys can do that. And that's always a fun place to be as well. Just go over, click subscribe. You can do that right now as you're listening. Click subscribe, click the little bell icon. It'll notify you as soon as we go live for the Instant Cast, so you guys can come in and do that as well too. Ren, buddy, I'll give you a chance. If you got anything final thoughtish you want to get out, is final instant thought, I guess, as we get out of here, and then you know what to do, how to wrap up the show.
Sure. Bobo Wilson taking up a spot on the team. TJ Logan, him and Ryan Griffin are in competing for doing the least amount of work and collecting a paycheck for active roster players.
At least TJ Logan's running onto the field.
Well, I think Ryan's got to run onto the field from the locker room and then then back at halftime and then back out again and then back in.
Well, Ryan's got to carry the radio too. So
yeah, and he's got to sit next to Jameis and like rub his head.
Yeah.
And, you know, pat him on the shoulder.
You're right. Ryan Griffin's doing more for this team than TJ Logan is.
He doesn't even wave his hands anymore. That's how lazy he's gotten. He doesn't even wave it off anymore. He just walks away.
Nope, I'm out. Yeah.
I'm not Matt. Why wave anymore? Bobo, right. Like, I was all about Bobo. I thought, you know, I liked the way he returned punts, but since the season started, every decision he's made, I shouldn't say every, but I'm going to, every decision he's made when he fields the ball and starts a run with it has been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every single one.
Mm-hmm.
Always makes the wrong read, always makes the wrong cut, and then, you know, muff and two in a row today, it's like, and you're useless as a receiver. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. He caught one pass today, and it was like, woo-hoo, great, you got one.
You see how excited he got? And he like did the first down and like, oh, I'm Bobo Wilson.
Hey, I
like,
got one.
I'm sure he's a nice guy, whatever, but he's just not an NFL grade receiver. Justin Watson, like, you know, the milk cartons are out. Where are you?
Yeah.
You know, like, I wouldn't mind like seeing him work around in the slot or something.
Yeah.
And just that if like, I don't know how to fix or even make Vernon Hargraves competitive. Like, I don't know anymore. I've tried to forgive this guy, come up with excuses for this guy. Mm-hmm. He should not be playing outside corner. And if they move him inside and he has one bad game, I'm ready just to pull the ripcord.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, fish or cut bait, man. Like, I would rather at this point, like, I would rather go and just do the growing pains with Dean or SMB.
Yeah.
At this point, like, it can't be any worse. He hasn't broken up. He hasn't made a play since the Panthers game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he hasn't made a play since the Panthers game. The Iraqi war was longer than how long ago that was.
It's kind of scary.
Or shorter. Yeah. Shorter. Iraqi war was shorter. So anyway. Yeah. I guess that's it for right now. I got to go look up to see the last time Jameis Winston's won back-to-back games as a Buccaneer. I'm afraid it's going to be like 16. That's going to be so sad. So, so sad. So anyway, best place to find me is on Twitter, at Rendax, REN_DAXT. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football, period.
All right. Hey, you cut that one short. Hey, yeah. Real quick, just want to give a quick shout out to, and I apologize if I mispronounce this name. I probably am. Maraudin, who says, just so you know, it's 5 a.m. here and I'm listening. So I don't know where you are, Maraudin, but thanks for joining us and thanks for listening. And if anyone else out there, you know, super wee hours earlier in the morning and you're listening to us, thanks. And people listen to us apparently when they go running now too, Ren. So that's cool. But hey, yeah, Ren, I don't know. I don't know. I just whatever anymore with that. I'm going to end this the way I did. Like until you start winning games, I don't care anymore. It's not that I don't care. I do care, but I don't.
I don't want to hear from you anymore.
Yeah. I don't.
I don't want to hear what you have to say anymore.
Put it out there until you get it out there.
And if they make another hype video, I'm going to feed my phone to someone over there at the freaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look how great we're doing on social media.
Listen, their social media presence has been great, but I mean, it doesn't fit. It's like they
can't
got
put lipstick on a pig.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it's you got blinders as to what's really going on, or you're just pretending like it's not really happening.
Tone deaf.
Because it's your job. Like, you know.
Did you see the Ravens injury report graphics?
No.
I tweeted it out. I was just scrolling through Twitter and it had the Ravens injury report, right?
Yeah.
And it was a graphic, you know, and it was all storm clouds, like all gray.
Right.
Like storm clouds with like a raven, like over in the corner, like a black raven and then just the list. And I'm like, all right, like
that's
injury report. I'm like, right. Jesus Christ, right. Settle down, guys.
Right, right.
But anyway,
hey, you know, if you guys,
not,
Do what?
Not ours. You know, we're gonna they're gonna put something out and talk about what a great person.
Yeah.
I don't know. They got to pick somebody who didn't screw up. So maybe Matt Gay will get a some kind of the Matt Gay hype video.
Yeah.
We'll get because he likes soccer.
Hey, listen. If you guys want to get in touch with me, you can find me at Brent Allen Live across all the social medias, and the show is at the PeterCast on Twitter, Facebook. Email us to thepetercast@gmail.com. This is a fan Tampa Bay fan podcast. So you guys tell us where you are in your fandom. Let us know how you're feeling. Let us know where you are. Where does hope shine for you or not? Or are you mad? Are you pissed off? Or what? Where are you? Let us know. You got thoughts on the game? You can do that as well. Like we said, we'll do those on an upcoming show. And thanks to everybody for joining us. You guys are awesome. And we'll talk to you guys soon. And until then, go Bucks. I wish it was better than that.